And so the fact that one of them may have appeared in our time before all of the world to see does not indicate that we are at any certain point in the fulfillment of prophecy itself. But it does make one wonder, amen, if the events that are taking place in Egypt and throughout the Middle East will have a much larger impact upon the final fulfillment of prophecy in the last days. Because I know and I believe that God alone, amen, knows the day and the hour. Yes. That God alone has everything in His control. That man, amen, cannot, amen, bring about the fulfillment, but God alone is in control. And so I believe they have it ready at this time. I want to show it on the screen. Talking about. It's frozen there in the picture. What appears to be a horseman riding through the midst of Egypt. The horse appears to be a pale green horse, which is the very description that the Apostle John saw on the Isle of Patmos. That horse represented death. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, if you are welcome to turn in your Bible to the sixth chapter of Revelation, the seventh verse. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I look and behold a pale horse. Now the Greek word there for pale is the word chloros, which is pale green in color. And so this pale horse was a pale green, and his name that sat on him, notice there's a rider that is on the horse. And him that sat upon him was death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Could this be the same pale horse rider that John saw almost 2,000 years ago on the Isle of Patmos? I believe very much that we are living in the latter day, and that the Lord will not forget His people. Amen. God has not forgotten us. God is still very much in charge. When the riots began to break out in Egypt weeks ago, and it appeared certain that the government of Hosni Mubarak was about to fall, there was rumblings throughout the world. Leaders of nations, including the United States, and yes, Israel. We're very concerned because this government, the government of Egypt, was the first Arab government to make peace and recognize the right of Israel to exist. That they made peace with Israel and established diplomatic channels. They traded diplomats. And it is a well-known fact that Hosni Mubarak was a very close and personal friend of Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of the Nation of Israel. There were many in the Arab world that did not like that relationship because most of the Arab world does not yet recognize the existence of Israel or its right to exist. So the toppling of that government was certainly to raise concerns around the world. But it was not only in Egypt, but shortly thereafter, revolution and demonstrations began to take place throughout the Middle East. No less than 9 nations today are going through a time of unrest. Nations that followed Egypt, Tunisia, Yemen, Jordan, Oman, Iraq, Iran, Bahrain, and yes, Libya. And this very hour, fighting is continuing in Tripoli and throughout Libya as the loyalists to Muammar Gaddafi try to regain control of that nation. What does all that mean? It means that there is a change taking place in the world, and particularly among those nations that will most affect the nation of Israel. North Africa, the Middle East, figure very prominently in the fulfillment of Bible prophecy because it is from there that Antichrist will arise and take dominion over the 10 kingdoms. And one of the kingdoms that he uproots is the land of Egypt. Egypt will be one of 3 nations that are plucked up by the roots and that will bow down to the authority and the power of the Antichrist in the last days. But I want you to be assured today that the Lord will not forget His people. The Lord, amen, I believe is just trying to tell us that I am in control. That man is not in charge of what you are seeing and what you are hearing and what you are feeling today. But there's a God in heaven that knows the end from the beginning. And He is the one that raises up and He's the one that casts down governments. Amen. That He is in control. I want you to turn today for our scripture reading to the book of Zechariah chapter 1 and beginning with verse number 7. Now I'm going to try to be very concise today and just hit the high points because I know that it's very important that we utilize the time, remaining time that we have very wisely. The Bible says, redeem the time because the days are evil. We're living in an evil day. We need to make sure that we are good stewards, amen, not only of our finances, but we need to be good stewards of our time. Yeah. Amen. I don't think this is time wasted, but I think it's time, amen, well spent that we spend in the Word of God and know the things of God and what God has to say for these last days. Can you say praise the Lord? Beginning with verse 7 of the first chapter of Zechariah, the Bible says, "And upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Shebat, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him there were red horses speckled and white. And then said I, my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years, which is 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts. And a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Praise God. God, we pray today, Lord, that you would anoint your messenger to proclaim, Lord, that you will remember. God, that you have not forgotten your people. Neither have you forgotten the seed of Abraham. You have not forgotten Jerusalem, Lord, and that you will cause to be built in that city, the temple. Amen. That you will establish the house of God in the top of the mountain. We pray, God, that your word, O God, would touch our hearts and move us. Amen. And stir within us. Amen. A zeal and a determination. Amen. To be a witness. Amen. For your name's sake. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. God bless you. You may be seated today. For the next few minutes, I want to minister to you on this subject. The Lord remembers. The Lord remembers. God has not forgotten the promise that He made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Neither has He forgotten the promise that He made to the children of Israel. God will remember Zion, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem, and the house, amen, shall be built upon the mountain. We know that prophecy tells us that there will be a third temple. Now Zechariah's prophecy was concerning the second temple, which we know today as the temple of Zerubbabel. That was the temple that stood in the day of Jesus that Herod had greatly enhanced and enlarged and embellished, so that it was a truly magnificent building. in the time of Jesus Christ. But it was not always so. At the time that the prophet Zechariah prophesied that the house was in the early stages of rebuilding, that most of the house was still a ruinous heap, amen, that could not be looked upon with any degree of pride or satisfaction. But God did not forget Jerusalem, and God did not forsake them, but He caused them to build a house. And I want you to know in the latter day that God promised not to forget Jerusalem, and He promised that a new house would be built there. For thousands of years, the Jews have waited for the building of a third temple because they believe that Messiah is coming. And they're right. The only problem is they think that He's coming back the first time. And we who believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, amen, know that He's coming back for the second time. Hallelujah. But Messiah is coming. Hallelujah. He is coming back. This man, Zechariah, was uniquely qualified to serve in the office of a prophet, for he was a grandson of a priest. He was a Levitical priest. And so he was both a prophet and a priest of the house of God. But he was born in Babylon. He was born when there was no house in Jerusalem. There was no temple there because the Babylonians had destroyed the house of God, and they had set Jerusalem on fire and broken down its gates and destroyed its walls. He was born in a time of captivity. The Bible says that 70 years were determined upon the people of Israel. And so from 606 B.C. until 536 B.C. that there was no rebuilding going on in Jerusalem because they were in captivity in the land of Babylon. That it was there that Zechariah was called of God in the land of Babylon. He was a contemporary of both Ezra and Nehemiah, with which there is much to be said in the Bible, and their role in revival, and their role in restoring again the house of God. Amen. The name Zechariah is very interesting because his very name, Zechariah, means the Lord remembers. Thank God that the Lord remembers the promises that He made house of Israel, that God will restore that nation, and He will restore, amen, the priesthood to Israel, and there will come a day, amen, that Israel will recognize the Messiah that they rejected, and they will call upon Him, and they will rejoice in the God of their salvation. Amen. Why? Because the Lord remembers. Zechariah was among those who first returned to Jerusalem with the very first expedition of 50,000 Jewish exiles around 536 B.C. that Zechariah went back to the land that he, amen, loved, even though he had never been there. He was not raised there. He was born, remember, in the land of Babylon. Born in a strange land. But he recognized that Jerusalem was the place that God had chosen, and that the land of Canaan was the land that God had given to the people of Israel for a perpetual habitation. And there, an altar was built upon the site of the former temple. And then the foundation of the temple was laid the following year. So the first year that they came back, They built an altar unto the Lord. And the second year they laid the foundation. I want you to know the most important thing that anyone can do if they want to be restored in relationship to God is to build an altar unto the Lord. Amen. We need an altar that we can call upon the name of Jesus Christ. The foundation was laid in 535 B.C. But then after the laying of the foundation, there was opposition. And I believe it was in 2004 that the Temple Mount faithful, amen, began to make a procession toward the Temple Mount. And they were stopped by the Jewish authorities. And they were forced to turn back because they had purpose in their mind and in their heart to lay the foundation for the third temple. But the Jewish authorities would not allow them to do so, because to do so, that would incite a riot by the Palestinians and the Arabs that lived in Jerusalem and throughout the world. And so they had to cease and desist from the laying of that foundation. But I want you to know that today, that they have made preparation for the erection of a third temple. That the vessels of that temple have already, amen, been made. And they are prepared for that day when once again they will worship the God of God, Yahweh, Jehovah. They will worship Him once again in the temple that they have dedicated unto the name of the Lord. But they were turned back. Amen. In like manner, they laid a foundation in 535 B.C. A foundation stone was laid, but that's as far as they got with the reconstruction. Because there was so much opposition to the building of the temple. I want you to know that the devil doesn't want a house of God to be built upon the mountain of the Lord, because that is sacred ground. God chose Jerusalem and God chose Mount Zion for a house, that He might have a house that was dedicated to His name. One day God's going to build a house. One day there shall be a temple there that will proclaim the one true God. And in that day there's going to be one King and His name one. Can you say praise the Lord? And so for 15 years there was inactivity at the Temple Mount until somebody, amen, amen, became burdened. Amen, a man by the name of Haggai. He got under an anointing and he began to stand up and he began to preach under the anointing of the Holy Ghost on the 29th of August in 520 B.C. On the 29th of August in 520 B.C., Haggai delivered a message. Amen. And it stirred the people and they resumed building again. Amen. A short time later. It was on the 29th of August that Haggai preached his message. And on the 21st of September, less than a month later, the rebuilding of the temple began in the year 520 B.C. And we read about this rebuilding of the temple in the book of Haggai, the first chapter, the 12th verse. It's also verified in Ezra chapter 5 and verse 2. On the 21st of September in the year 520 B.C., the rebuilding of the temple resumed once again. And then not long after that, on October the 17th in the year 520 B.C., Haggai, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he preached a second sermon of encouragement. I want you to know today that God wants a church to be encouraged. That God, amen, doesn't want you to hang your head. That there may be events taking place in the world that we can't explain. But I want you to know that there's one that knows the answer. That there's one, amen, that is in control. He's the architect. And He shall bring to pass the things that He declared in His Word. Amen. That pale horse rider, amen, could very well, amen, be telling us, amen, this is not just a happenstance. This is not just any ordinary revolution. This is not just an ordinary changing of the guard. But I'm getting ready to come back. I'm getting ready to establish my name and my kingdom upon the earth. Hallelujah. Because the Lord remembers. Amen. The Lord remembers. Praise God. And let us never forget that the sayings of God, the promises of God are yea and amen. When you say praise the Lord. In October of that same year, right after Haggai preached his second sermon, that's when Zechariah began his own ministry. Not only did Haggai inspire the rebuilding of the house of God, but he inspired, amen, the coming forth of a prophet that prophesied of events, amen, that were not restricted to his day, but reached down to the day and hour that we live right now. Zechariah's prophecies were apocalyptic. In fact, the prophecies of Zechariah very closely parallel, amen, prophecies in the book of the Revelation. He was, amen, it seemed like a man before his time. Amen. But it was inspired by an anointed preacher. Amen. There's no telling, amen, what God could do if we would allow, amen, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, amen, to get a hold of us. And not only would God restore a nation and restore a place of worship, but may God put a fire in the church to begin proclaiming a message of hope and deliverance and salvation to a lost and dying world. May God ignite a revival in our heart. Amen. Because the Lord remembers. Hallelujah. In the October of that same year, Zechariah began his ministry. Hallelujah. And in December the 18th of 520 B.C., Haggai preached another message. Oh, praise God. But this time, amen, he preached two messages on the same day. He preached a second message of rebuke. But he preached a third message of encouragement. Amen. I want you to know there's a lot of bad things that are happening in the world. Amen. There's a lot of sin. There's a lot of rebellion. There's a lot, amen, that's ungodly and in our world today. But I want you to be encouraged because God's getting ready a church, amen, without spot and without wrinkle to welcome back Jesus Christ at His coming. We need to be encouraged. Those messages of rebuke and encouragement, amen. If you want to study those two messages further, those messages he preached in December of 520 B.C. can be found in Haggai, the second chapter, verses 10 through verse 23. And then we want to come back to where we were reading today. When we first begin to read of a vision. Because Zechariah was inspired by Haggai. And he began his ministry. Amen. In October of 520 B.C. It was a short time later. The Bible tells us, the King James Version gives us the time as the 24th day of the 11th month in the month Shebar in the second year of Darius the Mede. Now, notice the point of reference there is of a Gentile king and not, amen, of a Israelite king. You know why? Because this prophecy was given during the times of the Gentiles, immediately following the Babylonian captivity. And the Medes and the Persians were at that time, amen, they had conquered they had conquered Babylon, and the Jews were under their authority and under their power. This date would translate in our calendar to be February the 15th, 519 BC. And on this day, God gave Zechariah 8 prophetic visions of things that were going to take place. Amen. Not only in his time, but of things that pertain to the coming of the Lord and the end of this age. 8 prophetic visions in one day. I want you to know, when God gets ready to wrap things up, amen, he doesn't need, amen, a lot of time to get things done. Amen. That God can cause things to come together at one time and bring to fulfillment and bring to a close the things that he's prophesied in his word. Amen. We don't know the day or the hour that Jesus is coming back. Amen. But I believe that the signs of the time point, amen, to the fact that God is causing everything, amen, in the Middle East to point to the fact that Israel is getting ready to receive their Messiah. That Israel is getting ready to welcome home. Amen. For God remembers the covenant that he made with Abraham. Amen. Israel was trembling when they saw the rioting in the streets of Jerusalem. Israel was concerned because they feared for their security. They feared, amen, for their very existence as a nation. Could it be that God sent a pale horse rider to let them know, I'm the one that's in control. I'm the one that raises up. And I'm the one that will cast down. Amen. Because I am the one that sends forth my 4 spirits. Amen, into the earth. Those riders are seen again. We see chariots that pass between the mountains, but maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Amen. There were 8 visions that Zechariah that he saw, and we're going to very quickly, we're just going to tell you what they were. The date again was February the 15th, 519 BC, which is some 2,530 years ago that God gave this vision to the prophet Zechariah. And what were the purposes of these visions? Amen. The purpose of these visions was to encourage and to reassure the people of Israel that they were in the will of God in rebuilding the temple, and that God would ultimately restore the kingdom in the millennial reign of the Messiah. That was the purpose of the 8 visions. Encouragement. Amen. For you see, in that year, in 519 BC, the house of God had not yet been completed. Amen. But it was just a very short time after that, amen, that they completed the building of the house of God. Amen. Because of the prophecies of encouragement. They were strengthened in the Holy Ghost to accomplish, amen, what they had not been able to do by their own strength. What we cannot do in our own power, we can do by the help and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. For 15 years, there was nothing there but a foundation. But then a preacher began to preach under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And it began to stir, amen, something in the heart of the people. Those that had been afraid, amen, to do something for God, all of a sudden, amen, they were inspired to pick up a hammer. Amen. They were inspired to build a house and dedicate it to the name of the Lord. This is not a time to tremble. This is not a time to hide in the caves and in the mountains. This is not a time to cower, amen, behind a wall. But this is a time to get your handle. Amen. To get your hand a hold of something that's real. It's time to build something that's going to last for eternity. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. And they begin to build until they built the house of God. Oh, thank the Lord. The first vision that Zechariah saw was a rider on a red horse. The Bible tells us that rider was the angel of the Lord, who sent forth messengers, amen, throughout the earth, amen, that they might report back unto him the things that were happening upon the face. I want you to know God, amen, knows everything that's happening in our world. Amen. God sees and God knows and God understands, because it's all in his power. It's all according, amen, to his divine authority. Amen, amen. And then secondly, he saw a vision of the four horns. Many believe that these four horns, because it's talking about these four horns have been bringing destruction upon Israel, that Israel had already gone through the Babylonian captivity. They were then, at that time when Zechariah received the vision, they were under the Medo-Persian Empire. There were four empires that had persecuted Israel up until that time, and that was Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, and Medo-Persia. And so we see the vision of these four horns. But oh, thank God. God said, yeah, that these four horns have destroyed my people, but I'm going to raise up, amen. He said, I'm going to raise up four craftsmen, and they're going to restore what has been destroyed. I want you to know, God will not forget his people, because God remembers. The third vision was a vision of a measuring line. Even God said, I'm going to rebuild the waste places. I'm going to make Jerusalem, amen, the apple of my eye. I'm going to make her delight. Amen. All nations are going to come into Jerusalem. Amen. So he said, we're going to measure, amen, because we're getting ready to build. Praise God. And then there was a fourth vision. The fourth vision was a vision of Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord with a filthy garment. Amen. That represented, amen, that the righteousness of man could not save him. Amen. And so the angel of the Lord took the garment that Joshua had on, and he handed him a beautiful white garment, which is the righteousness of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad that we can trade our filthy rags, amen, for the righteousness of God. That God said, I'm going to clothe the priesthood, amen, in a garment of righteousness. Not a garment of their own making, but I'm going to clothe them with the righteousness that is of God. And we can only obtain that righteousness through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. God was showing Israel that the sin of Israel was going to be taken away, and they were going to be clothed in righteousness. And in that same vision that God prophesied of the branch, in Zechariah 3, 8 verses 8 through 10, he prophesied of the branch. And we know that branch is Jesus Christ. He also said that the stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. And we know, again, he was talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know what? The Lord remembers. Hallelujah. He's not going to let this church, amen, crumble and fall, but he has built a church that's going to stand resolute and strong in the face of the opposition of the world. Praise God. The fifth vision was of a lampstand and two olive trees. And there were pipes that were coming out of that lampstand, and they were overflowing with olive oil. Well, hallelujah. I want you to know there is an anointing in these last days that's overflowing. Amen. That oil overflowed. Amen. And they went down the pipes. Amen. And those two olive trees. Amen. The Bible says they are my two witnesses that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. Israel is going to bear witness. They're going to receive testimony from the two witnesses, the Bible says. Jesus himself said that before the great and terrible day of the Lord come, Elijah the prophet will come and turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We know that that Jesus came the first time, amen, to establish a spiritual kingdom. And John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. He had an Elijah ministry. Jesus said, He said, "For this is Elijah, if you can receive it." He came as a type and a shadow of the Elijah that is to come. But God is not just establishing a spiritual kingdom. He's going to establish a literal kingdom. And Elijah, the prophet, appeared with Jesus Christ on the Mount of the Transfiguration with Moses. It wasn't John the Baptist that appeared with Jesus. It was Elijah, the prophet, because God has a purpose and a plan for these last days. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. The prophet will come. The Holy Ghost is going to be poured out. Amen. That's the overflowing of the lampstand. The flying scroll was the next vision, the sixth vision that Zechariah. That flying scroll meant the power of the Word of God, that God will judge sin. We're not going to be judged, amen, according to the judgment of men, but we're going to be judged by the Word of God. The Word of God is the highest authority. Oh, hallelujah. And then the seventh vision that he had was of a measuring basket. And in this basket, amen, there was a woman. And she represented wickedness. And the Bible says two angels with the wings of a stork. A stork is an unclean bird. Two women with the wings of a stork lifted up the basket with wickedness inside. And they put a heavy rock on top of that basket so that she couldn't get out. And they carried that basket to a place called Shinar. Now, anybody know where the land of Shinar is? It's the land of Babylon. The plain of Shinar is where the Tower of Babel was built. That God, amen, said that there's going to be a place of great wickedness in the last days, and I'm carrying wickedness. I'm removing it from my people, and I'm placing it in the land of Babylon. And there, amen, will be a place of great wickedness, that it will be a center of all kinds of witchcraft and evil in the latter day, and even today, that the city of Babylon is in the process of reconstruction, because God said, "I'm going to prepare a house for wickedness in the latter day." And then God gave an eighth vision to Zechariah. The vision of the four chariots. This is the last and final vision. The Lord said, "These are the four spirits of heaven that are sent forth upon the earth. And these horses pulling their chariots passed between two mountains of bronze." This is in Zechariah chapter 6. These bronze mountains, bronze always indicated judgment. That God is going to bring judgment upon the wicked. Judgment upon the nations. The red horses, the black horses, the white horses, and there were dappled horses. Now, the Bible says the black horses went to the north. The NIV translation says the white horses went to the west. The King James said the white horses went after them. The dappled horses, the grizzled and the bay horses, they went to the south. That leaves the red horse. The four directions of the compass are north, south, east, and west. So the red horses went east, the black horses went north, the white horses went west, and the dappled horses, or the grizzled and bay in the King James, they went south. Now we see a similar vision in the book of Revelation of a white horse, a red horse, and a black horse, and then last, a pale horse. A pale green horse, which corresponds to the dappled horse, the grizzled horse, of the book of Zechariah. The white horse rider symbolized the Antichrist. The Bible tells us in Daniel that the prince of the people shall come and destroy the sanctuary. That was the Roman people. In the latter day, out of the 10 kings that come up out of the old Roman Empire, amen, a prince will arise. That's why you see the white horse, that he symbolizes the Antichrist. He appears to be righteous, but he is a deceiver. The white also corresponds with the white horse that was sent to the west. You see, Rome arose in the west. It was the westernmost of the seven kingdoms that are referred to in the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel. Rome represents west, the west and western civilization in general, that the white horse rider rose from the west out of the Roman Empire. And then the red horse, the horse of war. What part of the world shall experience these wars? All of the nations that are mentioned in Revelation and in Daniel and in Ezekiel and in Isaiah were in the eastern part of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was divided into east and west. The Western Empire fell in 486 AD, and the Eastern Empire continued to 1054 AD under the Byzantium Empire. Constantinople became the new Rome, and built upon seven hills, it continued the Roman authority. And Rome continued its brutality toward Christians and toward all those that would walk in the ways of Jesus Christ. The red horse, which indicates war, is to the east. Red was sent to the east. And so these wars within the empire are in the eastern empire, the eastern half of the Roman Empire. The black horse. We see a financial crisis. We see famine. We see starvation. And we see that there is a lack, a scarcity of food. But yet there is at the same time that there's the luxury of oil and wine. That part of the world is living in luxury. The other half is groveling in poverty. This is the description of the world in the last days. The some that's going to live very high and enjoy great things. Others are going to be very, very much in deprivation. The black horse, the Bible says, was sent to the north. All of the major financial markets of the world are in the northern hemisphere. Wall Street, New York, London, Tokyo, Berlin, Frankfurt, all of these major places are in the northern hemisphere. The black horse, the Bible says, was sent to the north. That it will be a time of great crisis and financial problems. And then it brings us to that last horse, the fourth horseman, the pale green horse of death, which is the horse that corresponds with a horse that was sent to the south, to the south country. And the grizzled go forth toward the south country. Zechariah 6 and verse 6. The south country refers in reference to Jerusalem. In Daniel, there were two kings that made war against one, the king of the north and the king of the south. All Bible scholars recognize the king of the south was the king of Egypt. That the south, the grizzled, the pale horse, and here we see that pale horse in the fourth seal of the book of Revelation. We read in our newspapers and we see on the internet today an image of a green horse in the midst of Egypt. Is that just a coincidence? Or do you think that there really is a God that's in control? Do you really think there are spirits that are sent forth into the world. Amen. That raise up rulers and bring rulers down. Do you really think God has any control over what happens among the nation? I believe that God is trying to tell us that I am in control. I remember my covenant. I remember my people. I will not forsake her. Amen. She need not fear, because I will be a wall of fire about her church of the living God. Amen. With unrest throughout the world, through 9 nations of the Middle East in turmoil, amen, with earthquakes in divers, 2 of the most devastating earthquakes in the last 2 years, 1 in Chile and another in Japan, that have rocked our world, tells us, amen, that we need to lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Because the Lord will remember Zion. The Lord will one day, amen, exalt Jerusalem. Amen. But before He turns to the Jews, He's going to take a bride out of this world, out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. I want to be ready when Jesus calls His children home. Because the Lord remembers. Would you stand today?
Years of time.